I don't know. I think it's around a third, because what has happened is Carnival in particular really has expanded around the world, to the Far East, to Japan, to Australia, of course, into Europe. And so the Caribbean is still significant and is likely to grow. And for the simple reason that a substantial number of their customers come from the United States of America. What is the most desired place for people in the United States of America to come to by land or sea? The Caribbean. So I think you're going to find that even though our share goes down, our absolute volume is going to go up year by year.
Well, I don't want to pour cold water on the idea of us owning our own cruise vessel or getting involved in a business at that level. Perhaps buying shares may be more practical. And I say this because when you look at the cruise ships, one of the biggest differences, especially for us here in Barbados, is that they don't have labor unions to contend with. So as it pertains to their labor agreements, I mean, most cruise ship workers, they get a 6 month contract, and the chance of them getting back on the ship really is at the vagaries of the hiring persons. They don't have that longevity, and the rules and regulations that our unions abide by, and the negotiations and whatnot, they skip all of that. One of the other benefits that they enjoy is that there's this vagueness around the international maritime laws, so that once they're out on the seas, pursuing them from a labor perspective is very, very difficult and muddy. And I'm not a lawyer, but my little research has shown me that they have taken advantage of the fact that the legal framework around their operations gives them such great flexibility as it pertains to labor. One of the biggest inputs for us in the region, especially here in Barbados again, is the cost of labor. That's why things are so expensive here, because our people are very well educated. They expect to be well paid. So to get around that, I would say, will be quite challenging. But I see nothing wrong with a government, a nation, investing in shares pursuant to getting that revenue or return on investment as it relates to the cruise sector.
This is Brass Tax Sunday, coming to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing material.
For building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all. At Williams Metals we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
We're looking at the cruise industry in Barbados, examining whether it really is in crisis after all. There are diverging views on that. Some people think it is. Others believe it is not. Reggie Medford has joined us on the line. Crystal, you have a bit of background on his experience in the cruise industry.
Yes, Medford Mahogany. Good morning to you, Mr. Medford.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am well. Good to have you on the program.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like for you to share with us your experience in working within the sector as an attraction.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to say that I think that there is a lot of potential, and it is a very, very viable and positive thing for us to pursue new initiatives in the cruise industry. I've been listening to the program, and it's been going all over the place. I feel obviously placed not to be a criticism, but from my perspective, having been involved as an attraction, I would say distinctly it was very viable, very profitable, and the visitor experience was one that we felt proud to give a totally Barbadian experience to the visitor, and the reports, the reviews, and all the rest that came in from them is that they really enjoyed it. And I'm a very small attraction. Based on craft, of course, the Medford Mahogany is known. We are fundamentally a niche market. And what I would say is that what can we do within the next few weeks, few months, to really capitalize on the coming season? Because that's what we really want to
do. You speak in the past tense. We enjoyed it. You're no longer in it?
No. Okay, point. Right, we are not as linked in as we used to be, unfortunately.
What happened there?
The company that we were on board the cruise ships, we were one of a tour that brought visitors to Medford Mahogany was being sold on 5 of the cruise lines. So therefore, we were literally on several ships. And unfortunately, the company that we were linked on with, they closed that section of the business. So therefore, we kind of got out of the link. The whole point is, can we get back in, and how can other people get in? Because the fact, as I said, it's almost, 800,000 visitors coming to us, so we don't have to spend money going to them. As a manufacturer, if you're talking about export or whatever, you have to spend money flying out and do this. But there's 800,000, so literally is a tremendous market that's coming right to our doorsteps. What can we sell them? In the case of Medford Mahogany, it was an experience, okay? The Medford product also is not cheap, if I should put it that way. We are an economy product as well as a very upmarket product. And I can say proudly that our upmarket, our higher-end product, sold very well. So the notion that cruise ship visitors don't have a lot of money to spend is, to me, that's total nonsense. You just have to have the right product for them to spend on. If they're going to see a top-quality product that relates to the country, is indigenous, it has some heritage, it has some thing that directly commits to the country, they're going to pull the credit card and spend. In our case, we produce a high-end product. It's pretty heavy, so we raise the shipping. We ship to them, and therefore, that's it. It's not an issue of what the price is. It's a matter, it's a great product. And I think I want to put in a plug distinctly for the other craft producers and artists. Artists mean like, you know, visual artists and painters and all the rest. That here in Barbados, we have a very wide cross-section of product that can be sold at a higher price. And that's why the Barbados is expensive destination. There's nothing to be embarrassed about Barbados being expensive. The visitors will spend their money on a good product and a quality product. They're happy to put it in their home and says, well, I have this from so-and-so-and-so. It is handmade. I met the artist. I see it. That personal interaction with the visitor is what can be offered to the tourists. And I think that this is the area that we need to develop. It has been said that there's a monopoly and all the rest. Whether the monopoly exists or not, that is a reality. The thing is now, how can we, whether it be through government agencies, whether it be through people like myself marketing and promoting myself, how can we bring more visitors off the cruise ships to these particular niche market and specialty product on the island? That's the key. How can you get product and visitor to meet, and then the spend is going to happen? And I think there will be a significant spend, and more importantly, a spread across the economy, because in the handicraft sector, for example, and the attraction center, there are a lot of small people who are getting into, okay, they're small craft producers whose problem is to get the visitor to them to be able to sell to them. They can go on the beach or whatever, but that's not the ideal thing. The thing is that a big enough number of us now have locations that tour buses can come to, taxis can come to, or whatever, and they now see the product being made. They have the experience of interacting directly with the artist, directly with the painter, directly with the craft person, and that makes so much of a difference to them. Someone living in the States or whatever, they go, they buy stuff, it's all made in the factory and it's shipped in. When they can actually come, let's say, to my operation and see a raw piece of wood on the ground, and we take them through the whole process, and they actually see it being done in front of their eyes, they videotape. At the end of the tour, they meet me, I can sign the piece for them, I can take a photo with them. They go back, they feel the great experience. And I'm showing that situation can be duplicated for the potters, for the glass-blowing people. And then in terms of attractions, Barbados is a beautiful island. It's very varied. I think when we compare, I've cruised a lot. I've probably done more than 15 cruises. I've been all the cruise ships. I've done cruises myself. I've visited 20-something or more of the Caribbean islands doing business. When I look at Barbados in terms of what the Barbados pocket, the beauty of Barbados, the diversity, the actual physical diversity, you have the Scotland District, which is fairly well untouched right now in terms of tourism development. You don't have to go in there with a big, enormous product that's costing millions of dollars. There are a lot of small people with beautiful locations, whether it be just the physical location that they can open their their space, their house, their home, or develop an area that visitors can come, they can sit down, they can enjoy the view, they can enjoy whatever is distinctive about it, and also then be able to sell craft and all the rest. Several places around the island, and I think that if we sort of divided the island into different activities, whether it be, you have the oyster situation Friday nights, for example. Incredible experience for the visitor. The question is, how many other, if I may describe them as tourism hotspots, can we develop around the island? We have Oystens. I think Carlisle Bay is definitely a potential tourism hotspot where a lot more could be added to create a whole atmosphere, and that everybody must go to the Carlisle Bay area for some activity that goes on there, maybe during the day. Then we can look at something over on the other side of the island, whether it be Belle Plaine, whether it be Bathsheba, something in the north. But let's start. Medford Mahogany started out cutting up coconut shells. Okay? The thing is, I made a start, and it grew from there. So my suggestion is that let us look at the whole spectrum of, in terms of attractions, in terms of art, in terms of craft. Let's look at the people who have come to, who are big enough operators that they have the land, the facility, or whatever, or find a location that they can all be grouped together and put some weight behind that.
Right. Well, I want to thank you so much for that input, Reggie, and we really appreciate you giving us that inside view as someone who would have been working with the cruise businesses before. I want to wish you much success as you move forward.
I have one question for you, though. I mean, having been on the cruise ships before, the issue here is, what's going to happen? How can you possibly get back there? Because that's the crucial thing. I mean, is that something that, I mean, we said we look to government to do so many things. But what can be done to open up that door again? You got to get to the Florida Cruise Line Association meeting. How do you see it, Sean DeFreitas? Because you have a different view as to how you can penetrate the market.
I'd like to throw out a challenge there to all of these artists that we have in Barbados, and web designers, and people on the whole in the industry. Look, we when we want to create an ad for Barbados, we go outside of Barbados and we import people from outside and we tell them what we want to do, and we create an ad for Barbados. And we have people here that are talented enough to do it. We have the talent here to do it, both actors and actresses, as well as musicians and studios and the whole 8 miles. We can do this. Now, Barbados' biggest problem right now is we have no money. So going to government for any assistance with anything is a waste of time. The assistance has got to come by facilitation. It's not going to come by saying, we need a handout. You're not going to get it. We as a community need to get together. We're a small enough community that we can do this. We are a small town in the USA. Barbados is not that big a destination, okay? We could come together and do this. If I were to say tomorrow, let's create a website so that, like the gentleman from the Mahogany business said just now, he wants to be able to get to market to these cruise ships, to market on a bigger scale. But we don't want to do it without having to go and sit down at a meeting in Florida, or an individuals where we don't really have any power. Let's say we created our own website. Let's say we asked the players to come together and give of their services to create something that helps us sell Barbados tomorrow. All of us, we all put it in. Your services are donated for the betterment of Barbados this once in your life. As an artist, as an actor, as a web designer, as a bar and a restaurant who will feed the people while they're doing these film shoots, as a hotel that might put them up for a weekend while they're doing a film shoot on a beach. And I'm just throwing something out completely out there, and we got together and we created this site that we could only small businesses could be part of, and they then come in and play a part in getting this marketed overseas. The power of the internet is there. You can advertise. One of the things I've always wanted to do in Barbados was do a more personalized marketing scenario. So if you had a website like this, and people worked out of their homes and they had their computers. Everybody has a phone with them all the time. And every time you hit Barbados on the search engine, your phone and my phone and the people who wanted to work in the industry but weren't working in the industry would ping. And whoever picked that up first could become the direct contact person that you're speaking to from your home, wherever it is, and you're talking about, oh, hi, this is Abeth. I'm from Barbados. What can I do for you? Can I help you at all in your searches? I mean, these are the things on the sites. Can I be your intermediate? I can talk with you now. We can work together. You all of a sudden have a personal touch with Barbados and not just a bunch of websites and a travel agency. You have a Barbadian person. Now, for that person, they're going to want to make some sort of income by doing this. So therefore, they'll do things like... They'll get commissions and so on and so forth. But the point is we can create this in a small business atmosphere. So without too much cost associated to it, where we all benefit at the end.
Well, we're going to have to break here for the latest news. I want to thank Vincent Vanderpool Wallace, who's been with us on the line from the Bahamas, for his input in the program. When we come back after the news, we will allow him to go and get lunch and all the other things that he has to do for the rest of the day. Well, the others stay with us until 1:15. I'm David Ellis.
And I'm Crystal Austin.
With us, we have Sean DeFreitas, and we also have Adrian Loveridge. This Brass Tack Sunday comes to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
And we're back with Brass Tack Sunday. My name is Crystal Austin, and I am your co-host today. Our panel again includes Mr. Adrian Loveridge, celebrating 52 years in tourism, and Mr. Sean DeFreitas, who has about a quarter of a century of experience in this sector himself. So we have, between myself and Dennis and our panel, about 100 years of tourism know-how in the studio today, discussing our cruise sector. Is cruise in crisis? We were discussing offline the Sugar Point project and the extent to which we would have sunk about $30 million into that, but now we are in a cash strap situation. Gentlemen, do you think that may be the reason why the previous government would have sought to get in bed with a company like Global Port Holdings PLC? I did some research on Global Port Holdings, one of the quote-unquote egregious contracts that the Prime Minister said was signed during the election period. And the conditions for that contract included 30 years of concessions for managing the Barbados Cruise Pier, a paltry $34 million up front. They were to be allowed to collect certain cruise charges directly, and government was supposed to receive a fee, which was not earmarked in the coverage of that story. But certainly it was affiliated with Berth 6. Now, we have no money, but here we have a company like Global Port Holdings, which manages ports around the world. And interestingly enough, they managed two ports in Spain, which would have hosted recently the Symphony of the Seas, which is the largest cruise ship to date. So they have the wherewithal, the expertise of managing ports. I know the deal may seem to be a bit shoddy, but is this something that we really should reconsider right now, having a partner like that that has that experience and could probably bring the resources to the table that we don't have at present? Adrian?
Well, I think coming back down to justify the cost in the real world, everything you do has to have some return on it. Otherwise, you're doomed to failure at the beginning. So if the feasibility is there, if it can be proven in an absolutely transparent way that it will ultimately benefit Barbados, then I think we have to consider everything. But to already put 30 million, you mentioned, 30 million US into a project that's dead in the water, it just doesn't seem like a good use of resources to me.
Let's take some calls. 4341790. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Brass Tack Sunday.
Hello, good afternoon to you, David, and the panel. Listening to you speaking, I agree wholeheartedly with the sentiments of everyone. Speaking from someone who did two cruises with Carnival in the last 3 years, the Barbados experience, listening to some of the folk on the boat, Barbados needs to offer and cater now to tourists of different spending pockets, because most of those folk said they're going to wait till they go to St. Lucia when the boat left Barbados, or go to St. Kitts or St. Martin to shop, because they're saying they're finding cultural things to do. And my wife and the family, we did two island tours, one in St. Lucia and one in St. Kitts. And I don't see that happening in Barbados. So what do we do to grab those different types of class of tourists? Because there are people on the boat that spend money regardless of what they do, but people are looking for a bang for their buck. After saving...
I think you got cut off. Let's take another call. Hello?
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis, to you and your guest. I first want to tell the young lady in the studio that it is not correct to say that the cruise ships, they just hire people willy-nilly. You know, in the Caribbean, that might happen. They might be able to hire people willy-nilly in the Caribbean because there's no strong union representation. But in places like Europe and Asia, there's a very strong union representation. So it's not fair to say that. Anyway, let me move on. I want to make a couple of suggestions. And those suggestions are, let's say that we are joining a ship in Barbados to go on a five-port cruise. From the time you get into your cabin, you should see brochures on your table with the various activities in the various islands, so that when you are in your cabin in the night and the ship at sea, you could go through those brochures and decide where you want to go, which port you want to spend money in, and what you want to do in that port, because you will be guided by the brochures. Because I want to say that the cruise ship business nowadays is one where the cruise director is who actually arrange where the tourists go once the ship is in port, and that's so far. And I would like to see also, we talk about recreation for seamen and indeed the passengers, and I've been calling for this for years. Right outside the port, we should have something like a seamen center, so that if people don't want to go up by the boat yard on the gap, they can easily... Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello? Yeah. So that if people don't want to go in the boat yard or up in the St. Lawrence Gap, they can easily go outside there to the cruise ship, to the Seamen Center, and there's all kinds of entertainment there, and there's all kinds of gifts and souvenirs that they can get there. Have a good time. You know, people are overnighting. You know, you see the fellas go at 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock, and by 11 o'clock they're back on board the ship. Well, if you had that Seamen Center outside the gate, that would be one way of keeping the crew and some passengers out later at night, having a good time and spending some money.
Okay, thank you very much for your suggestions. Let's take another call. Thank you. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Yes, welcome.
This is Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
Oh, blessed be my brother. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
This program, they're not as good as you for sure. This program, I see, is long in coming. And that's what brought me out of my hibernation with regard to calling the program. I live, as you probably know, in the West Bay Road area. And I oftentimes consider that there's nearly 2 miles of pristine beach when a tourist gets off the cruise ship by the flour mill. And then what do they see? I mean, after Weiser's what? I don't understand how we don't have roadside cafes, etc. I don't think it's only because of a highway called that cannot be accommodated. I don't understand why, while I'm riding my humble bicycle, my humble means of transport, that I see tourists walking from the Bridgetown port straight to Bridgetown, and there's no arranged tour guide to take them from the Bridgetown port straight to Pelican Village, and to have an organized tour, and to see craftsmen at work. You know how often, Mr. Ellis, I have got off my bicycle, and tourists have asked me, where do they find the cigar factory? And I would get off my bicycle and walk with them to the cigar factory, introduce them to the whoever I find at the place, whoever a worker or the only place, and they move on from there. You know how often I've taken people to the Legends Cricket Center in Fontibel? I mean, shouldn't there be somebody doing this? in our capital city, the one of the most historic architectural buildings of architecture.
So why can't you do it?
Why can't I do what?
Provide the tours.